I couldn't clap very well. We start off by clapping and I couldn't clap because I have an owie on the palm of my hand.
What happened to your hand? Are you okay?
Okay. I'm fine. I fell so hard.
Oh.
I was like power walking home, like trying to get to my apartment as quickly as possible, trugging along and just like where that the sidewalk is just like one is just that much higher than the other one. And you just like catch your toe on it. I fell forward so violently that I had a moment where I'm like, do I just live here on the ground now? Like, do I ever get up again? Like, it was so startling.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm fine. It's really like a small thing on the palm of my hand and then a small thing on my knee. But
did that just happen right before this?
No, it happened like 2 nights ago. It happened Sunday night. So
also, it's so hard. I mean, it's really, as an adult, it feels really shameful to fall. And I've done it. I fell down steps recently and I was just like, all right, I did that in front of people. Great.
I know. It was sort of mortifying. I actually don't know if anyone saw, because I like I had my half second of like, maybe I live here now. And then I like popped up and like just like kept walking as quickly as I could. So
do you know,
but it was really, yeah, it was like, it was very, very startling.
If my sister is listening to this right now, she's probably laughing hysterically because she is so warped. She like has this thing where if someone gets hurt, she laughs. She can't stop, like it gives her the biggest giggles. And that used to happen when we were little and I would get hurt and she'd just be laughing and I was like, I will punch you. Stop laughing at my pain. Stop laughing at, but now it's cute and I love it. Thanks, Silo. Love you.
There you go.
So besides that, how's your week going?
It's been going pretty well. You can see I'm wearing my glasses right now, which I
see that.
Listen, and I want to say, like, if there's an eye doctor out there listening to, I've actually been to an eye doctor twice about this issue. I have had the same prescription for my eyes since I was 16 years old. Like, when I got my first pair of glasses, like, my eyes have not changed at all in that period of time.
All right. Okay.
Which is great, like, in general. I also have been wearing the same kind of contacts for a decade. Like, for so long, I've used the same brand, same period of time that you wear them for. I want to say, like, a year and a half ago. It was, like, October of maybe 2 years ago. I got a new prescription. Once again, not a new one, really, because it was the same as I've always had.
Yeah.
Put them in. They're usually contacts that you wear for 2 weeks. An eye doctor once said you can stretch that to 3 weeks, so I usually wear them for 4 weeks. But I got to like day 5 and my eyes were so irritated and like red that I had to take my contacts out and wear glasses for a few days. And then I went on to the next pair, and it doesn't do it every time, but it's kind of startling how quickly my eyes get irritated with contacts now. So I don't know if someone knows a good drop. I literally, like, the eye doctor like said, use these eye drops and they make it better. But it's just weird how consistently I have issues now. I don't know.
That is strange.
Anyone else? I don't know. It's just, it's a weird story, but it's very aggravating, especially in this day and age of wearing a mask.
Oh, yes.
It's terrible. I had to do it. I worked brunch on Sunday, which I haven't worked a brunch in literally months, and added to like just brunch being the worst thing that can happen to a person. Yeah. I also, you know, have my glasses and a mask, so they're like fogging up, and I'm not kidding or exaggerating, I put a piece of tape on the mask across my nose to like keep the steam from going up, and it kind of worked. I don't know,
it's rough.
Very, very aggravating. So I don't know if anyone out there is and here's the thing, doctors wear glasses. Like, I know that there are people that have, yeah, for their profession, like wear a mask and glasses. I don't know what they do that I'm not doing right.
Yeah, we need that trick. I wish that I could pull that right out of my butt for our random fact tonight, but I don't have that. Sorry.
And there was this thing of like, oh, wash your glasses with soap, and then when you dry them, they won't fog up. And that totally works for about an hour, and then they start fogging up again. So I don't know. I saw a product that you like put under the mask that's supposed to like funnel the breath in a different direction. Maybe I'll buy that and see if it works. Yeah,
but please,
anyone
guys,
has suggestions?
Send us some suggestions.
Yeah, seriously. Well, so aggravating. So there you go.
Sorry.
How's your week going?
I'll never know that joy. So it's good. It's good. It's good. No, it's actually been really, it's an exciting time because, so both of my parents were vaccinated and they are incredibly, paranoid. So they haven't seen anybody, been anywhere, anything, except for I just picked them up from the Burbank airport. So they're here in my home and I got to hug my mom and dad. And that was like pretty exciting. And I talked to my mom last night on the phone and she's like, I just can't wait to hug you. And she's getting weepy. And I'm like, please, mom, I don't know if I can handle that much emotion, but it was like the best hug in the world. I just laid myself in her bosom and I took a deep breath in. So they're here for 10 days and I'm so gosh darn excited. I really am so like happy. It's great. It's been such a tough year, as you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll feel the same way when you see your parent or your mom, sorry. It's like, oh, it's just our human contact is really necessary. Oh, God. So that's wonderful. They're downstairs with the baby boy right now. Yay.
Yeah. I'm sure that they're so excited to see their grandkids that they haven't seen in forever.
Yeah. I think they don't care about me. Like me, I'm still the kid. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, mommy, daddy. And they're like, excuse us, where are my grandchildren? And, you know, it's true because we haven't seen them for like 8 months. And we drove up to Washington State this summer and the kids are completely different human beings. Like they look different. They are different, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at this week. It feels good. It feels real nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm mostly back at work. I'm working like 5 shifts a week, which I know anyone listening, that sounds like a normal work week. Mm-mm. I'm like a 4 shift a week. Yeah, I don't
do
5 shifts.
It is physically rough. Ugh.
It's so exhausting in the best of times, let alone now just dealing with the extra stress. Because I know I've said this before, I'll say it again. No one's wearing masks inside. Like people come to the restaurant and I wait on them and they'll like turn and like,
and you're like, ah!
Talk in my face. Yeah, it's very aggravating. And, you know, I got my first shot. I'm several weeks into it. I'm probably fine. But it is just that weird thing of like, I don't know. Are we not caring about this? Oh, restaurants opened in LA, right? Did they open at like 25% or something?
I guess so. I'm a little bit like, yeah, I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go there. I'm good. I'm good right now. I'm gonna wait until like I'm vaccinated or something to feel like I could do that. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. Because like, why go and be stressed? Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. I love eating out. I love it so much. Yeah. But no.
Have they announced any guidelines in California for when the age limit's gonna go down?
You know, I'm not sure, but they've opened it to like state workers and people with their, if you have your restaurant or food handler's card, you can get it. Anyone who works with children. Yeah, that's as far as I understand. I actually haven't looked into it, but I need to. I think it's going to happen in the next couple weeks, to be honest with you.
Yeah, someone sent me a thing and I want to say it was for Massachusetts, but it was like, it goes down to like 55 and up, like in like a week or two, and then it goes down to like 16 and up in like a month and a half or something like that.
I think
like
it's pretty soon. So things are looking good, guys. And this is...
We're chugging along.
Where this is kind of a good segue into my digging, if you want to hear.
Oh, yeah, let's go for it.
So I'm feeling possibility, everyone. I am feeling possibility. So let's see if I can summarize this. I started a company about 1 year and 8 months ago, maybe a little bit more, called the Children's Film Club. And it was intended to be, you know, filmmaking classes for kids, really, at its core. I used to teach theater for kids for years. And, you know, with all of my experience producing short films, being on set as an actor in big films, my husband is a producer, so I've also costume designed some films. And I've also worked, you know, PAing and all. So I've been all around the globe and I love filmmaking to its core. I love it so much. And, you know, and I've taken classes for all. So my thought was, if I was a kid and someone said, you can take a filmmaking class, I would have died. I would have gone to heaven. You know, like my brother and I and sister used to make films in with the VHS camera and we would like edit in camera and, you know, like where you stop it and then you're like, okay, wait, do that again. And then you'd like rewind and go back to the thing because I didn't like that take because my sister didn't put enough, you know, emotion into it. We definitely have somewhere in my parents' VHSs, there is a gruesome Red Riding Hood where she was like, in the end, we covered her with like ketchup. I was directing always because I also am a director. So it's like, anyways, growing up, it would have been just the most joyful thing I could have done. And I love acting with passion. So I created this curriculum and I did one summer, which was in 2019. And then that was amazing because it was kids I knew and it was just a glorious, it was actually a huge age range too. We had all the way down to like Well, I let my daughter do it. She was 5 at the time, but she was kind of the assistant and she had a cute part in the movie, but they wrote their own film. We edited it and the kids worked. We worked all together. I had an assistant who was, by the way, that is crucial. I learned that. And then the year after, I did an after school program with my, at the same school where my daughter goes to. And that was a little bit trickier because it's like you only have like 30 minutes and it was like once a week for 7 weeks. And it was just like, I was like, okay, that short term doesn't really work, and they were all these kids who are super hungry after school, and it's very hard to manage the classroom, let's just say that. Mm-hmm. And so I did get down, but that happened, like, we were able to do our last class, and then March 13th happened, so the week before was our last class, so we got to culminate, and it was
oh, wow.
It had its moments that were really, that felt really amazing, but we didn't get to do our big thing with all the parents because of the coronavirus. So a year later, I am feeling, I kind of was like mourning the loss of it. I was sad and I was like, oh man, I don't know if I just spent all this money. I legitimately started the company. I spent all the money, the tax money, by the way, to have an LLC in California, an LLC tax you pay every year is $800. So I've done that twice and I'm about to do it again, which is a lot of money, especially if you're not putting, you know, I brought in $1,000 last year before the coronavirus hit, but that's, you know, doesn't pay anything, right, or anybody. And I paid for an assistant too. So she, you know, we, whatever. People who own their own businesses understand this kind of stuff, but it is a passion of mine and I love kids and I love the arts. I love storytelling. It's my favorite thing. So I'm feeling, what I'm digging is I'm feeling possibility. I revamped my website, which, it's a one pager and I'm too cheap yet to pay for someone else to do it. So I'm like, I'm going to make this website myself. So I will put it out there so y'all can check it out. And I'd love to know your thoughts. But I'm hoping, God willing, I'm looking at only 4 students. I'm looking in for places, you know, near where I live. I'm looking for maybe even an outdoor space where we can do things, but I want to do a camp. I'm giving myself a really meager timeline and a amount of kids, but I'm hoping I could do 4 kids for a summer camp, and that's my goal, and it feels possible. And so it makes me happy.
That's amazing. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm like, we're going to do comedy and silent films and action scenes. And there's just so much to do, so much fun stuff. And like, I want to teach them how to act and all. It's just great. Good stuff. I think it's hopefully, I feel like if I'm so excited about it, it's got to be the right way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Do things that excite you.
Yeah. How about you? What are you digging?
Yeah, my digging is one that I've kind of thought about talking. First of all, I have one episode left in I May Destroy You, and I almost just like watched the last one, but I'll finish it tomorrow. So I'll have my complete thoughts next week on that.
Okay.
I am going to talk about a TV series that I'm not suggesting you watch. I don't think that you would enjoy it probably at all. A lot of people will probably be, you know, iffy about this. And I don't even know. I have very, very complicated feelings about it, but I still wanted to talk about it. And it's a new CBS hour-long drama called Clarice. And it takes place a year after the events of The Silence of the Lambs. And it's, you know, about that lead character, Clarice Starling, and like sort of where her life takes her. Yeah, yeah. And I sort of went into it with a little bit of trepidation, of course, because I think that Silence of the Lambs, both as a book and as a film, are basically perfect pieces of entertainment. Once again, if you can get into that kind of genre, like I think they're brilliant. I actually saw it in the movie theater when I was like maybe 12 years old. I'm not sure what my mom was thinking, but she really wanted to see it because she had read the book. So she took me, and it didn't like mess me up, I don't think. Like I'm someone who's always really liked scary movies. I read the book Hannibal. Like I bought it the day it came out, and like I was living in Atlanta at the time, and I would sit in my living room with a candle lit and just like read the book. And it was so dark and kind of like icky making, you know, feeling. And then I hated the ending, and I was like, oh, I am so mad, that ruins everything. But no, not really. Like I still love Silence of the Lambs, whatever. And then they had, you know, they did a, Brian Fuller did a series called Hannibal a few years ago that was, in my opinion, really good for 2 seasons, and then kind of like, what are you doing for a 3rd season? So whatever. So I was curious as to how this was gonna go. And I will say that I am, for the most part, very much enjoying it. It's difficult I can't imagine what the lead actress's name is Rebecca Breeds, and I don't know her. Yeah, she's an Australian actress. I literally am like looking at her credits and I don't know that I've ever seen her do anything before. Huh. And I can't imagine how difficult that would be to go to step into that role that obviously Jodie Foster made so like iconic. Mm-hmm. And she's not doing an impression. She's doing a pretty good like spin on it on her own while paying, you know, homage to what Jodie Foster did. It feels like it's an overall a very interesting cast. Like Michael Cudlitz is an actor I like, and Jane Atkinson is like a big theater and film and TV actress, and she's in it. She actually plays the senator from the movie, the mother of the girl in the well.
Oh.
And she's, you know, that girl's also a character that we see every once in a while. So they do a pretty good job of like weaving in. They're not allowed to use the word Hannibal Lecter because someone else owned the rights to that particular character. So they kind of have to like weave around it a little bit. But I'm really enjoying it. It does tend to have sort of a mystery of the week, but there is an overall mystery too. I think the first season is only going to be 10 episodes long, which I think is great. Like, let's tell a fairly succinct story. Mm-hmm. Anyways, once again, it's not a suggestion. I don't know. But if you're into horror and you're into that genre, I do think it's a little too artsy by like half. Like I kind of want them to dial back in the like slow-mo moths in the background.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying the storytelling, and I think they're doing like a lot. It's like a laudable effort of trying to like honor what came before and move the story forward. So if you're so inclined and you've been on the fence about it, I do think that it is worth checking out. I think they're doing a good job with it. So there you go. There's my dig in this week. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Great. I love it.
Yeah. What could you do without this week? Anything?
Well, it kind of goes... I was just like, well, I'm going to keep talking about Children's Film Club. That's okay. childrensfilmclub.com. No, you know what it is? Okay, so I have a complicated relationship with the social medias, you know? And I love doing our social media for, you know, you and I both kind of put it together, but we do it, you write it, I do. I put the pretty pictures out. It's fun because we definitely have a gaggle of people who are watching, and it's like we are communicating to them, and it feels to me authentic, which I like. I am a person who I don't like to think about the likes. Like, I'm kind of like, well, obviously that's part of owning a business. You want people to be aware of your business. And for my other podcast, Rom Crime with Avryn Mackey, my true crime podcast I do with her, we do a bunch of different, we've tried all kinds of stuff because we're kind of like, just doing our best, you know, and we just started doing TikTok. And so we've been it's kind of silly, but one thing that her and I have always kind of done, and honestly, I've been doing this since I was a little kid, is just doing parody songs, like rewriting the lyrics to a song. Like, I'm a Weird Al Yankovic child, you know? Mm-hmm. So rewriting the lyrics. And so we've been doing that with whatever true crime we're studying of the week. And we do like a little 30-second to 60-second parody song for that on TikTok. It's fine. Like, three people look at it. It's whatever. I haven't totally gotten TikTok. I think I don't really understand how to get the people. And also, even if you do get the people watching, are they even going to listen to your podcast? But bringing that to Children's Film Club, someone suggested, they were like, you know what? It's can be really good. You can get a lot of followers and this and that. But my thing is this. I don't want to waste, but like it takes time. You're filming like a bunch of different scenes and editing them together. And maybe you're painstakingly adding, you know, the subtitles and this and that. It's like not a quick 20-minute thing. It's like a couple hour thing, depending on what you're doing. So it's like, I'm just not digging the fact that, well, here's the thing. I don't mind working hard. I don't mind doing this, that kind of stuff. And if there's something like maybe we do like here's like a camera trick and teach that really fast with fast cuts and like some cute music behind. I don't mind doing that. But I'm also like, what does it matter? Like people, are they going to be like, we want to take your class? I don't think so. Because I'm looking at, you know, eight to 16-year-olds who are going to take this class, maybe. So I'm just frustrated by social media and like the pressure of having your own business. And even like the podcast is essentially kind of like a business in a way, but the pressure of social media just looming over me. Like, I just want to be like, F you, social media. I just like, I wish there was an easier way that didn't feel so like like me, love me, look at me. That's how I'm just frustrated about it. And, you know, maybe I try and save some money and find someone who's, that's their expertise, perhaps. But again, does it matter? Does it matter?
Yeah. And is there going to be like another thing in a month that like, oh, no one watches TikTok anymore. Now it's all about Shablamo. You know what I mean? Like,
I can't wait for Shablamo to come out. God damn. No, but yeah. But even like Facebook,
it's an app I'm working on.
It's all my, you know, people I knew from high school and like old friends and then my parents and their friends that I'm friends with. And it's just like, why am I telling them about this? They're not going to, I mean, maybe they will. Maybe it is word of mouth and things like that. And I don't mean to be so like negative about it. I just feel like it's, you put so much work into doing something that gets nothing. And you're like, and maybe I am desperate for likes in that way. I don't know. I don't like the way it makes me feel. It doesn't feel right. So I got to find some, either I have to figure out how it feels right for me, or I've got to figure something else out. Like maybe I just do ads in local newspapers, which I love actually. Like every town has like an arts paper, right?
Right.
Maybe I just take out an ad and do that instead. I don't know. Wah.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for, I mean, I sometimes I think about, and now I'm going to say it wrong and Mary would be mad at me, but I remember in the acting class that we took forever ago that our teacher would say, audition for everything, but put your energy where it makes the most sense or something like that. I'm saying it wrong, but it's that idea of like, do whatever you can, mm-hmm. but also at some point you have to say like, well, this doesn't help me to do this. So I'm going to focus more energy over here.
Mm.
And so maybe it is figuring out like what version of that app makes sense for you.
Yeah. Like I don't want to do all the apps for this thing. I do for Children's Film Club. I do have an Instagram account, but I don't think, I mean, unless I get on like some parent blogs or parent sites or whatever, kids who are actually going to be wanting to do this aren't watching it.
Right.
And I don't think they care. So, I mean, maybe, who knows, maybe 16-year-olds are like, who are really into film are like, I'm looking for this. But then probably the 16-year-olds are like, I wish this wasn't called Children's Film Club because I'm not a child. See, guys, now I'm already getting down on myself. No, but you know what I mean.
I feel you.
Yeah. What are you not digging? What could you do without? Excuse me.
Yeah, mine is about me. So I feel a little bit weird talking about it, but let's go ahead and just it has been brought to my attention that I sometimes say things that are hurtful to people. And it's a thing that I'm aware of because I know that I'm someone who thinks, I mean, whatever, I am funny, but sometimes I think I'm being funny and it doesn't come across that way. And I've heard this from people before. I mean, people aren't like, you're a big jerk, but sometimes they're like, oh, you said this thing and it hurt my feelings or made me feel badly. And there is the smallest part of me that's like, well, everyone gets their feelings hurt and everyone feels defensive about things from time to time. And there is a certain amount of like self, brushing things off for like not taking it too personally. But at the same time as I say that, I don't want to relinquish the responsibility for the things that I say and for the way that I say them sometimes. And acknowledging that I know that there are times that things come out of my mouth or I'll text something and I'll think, oh, that isn't going to fly or there's the potential of that hurting someone. I remember like way back in the day, and this is just one of the many reasons why I can't do like online dating, like back in the day when there was like chat rooms, and so often it would go like someone would say hi and then I would say hi back, and then like within like four back and forth they'd be like, you seem like kind of a jerk, and I'd be like, oh, I thought I was being funny. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it's a thing about myself that I am aware. And it's just something that I'm going to try to work on. And I guess that's a thing that like we can maybe all work on of like sometimes think about what you're saying. Once again, like I don't think that I'm the kind of person who ever sets out to like hurt someone's feelings or make someone feel bad. But that doesn't mean that I can relinquish all responsibility for the things that I say. So
I understand that.
So there you go. There's just a thing that I could do without. Yeah, because when I think about the things in my life that could make me like burst out into tears, like the moments in my life that affect me emotionally the most, they're almost always moments when I realize that I've hurt someone else's feelings. Like they're almost always moments where I'm like, oh, I didn't mean it that way, or I probably said something that I shouldn't have said. So yeah, anyways, that's all. It's just something that's fresh in my mind, so I thought I'd bring it up.
That's interesting. Being your friend for many, many years, I don't think I'd take anything wrong because I know your humor so well. Like I cannot think of a time where I felt offended by you because I just know you well, and I just know you don't have that intention, even if it did sound like it. It would roll off my back personally, but that's just our friendship and our relationship. But I do know what you mean by like saying something or doing something. And I don't, do you remember a couple months back when I called you sobbing?
Yes.
And
yeah,
I had done this show. I had done it. It was an online show. It was a really cool thing. It was called Out of an Abundance of Caution. It was like a weekly online show and they would get people to host it. And so you'd host and you'd introduce like the artists or whatever coming on. Now, I'm a comedian. I'm usually a funny person. I'm a mom. That's something that's like my brand, whatever. When I come on, I always talk about my children, this and that. Anyways, not that, that has nothing to do with anything. But the person I had been introducing was someone I knew many years ago as a she. And they were now a they. And I, in the moment, it's live, by the way. It's not like an edited show. I had misspoke their pronoun. And I fixed it immediately, but I did it twice in the play or in the show. But I immediately fixed it twice, but I couldn't, you know, I didn't take enough time to practice. It was really an honest mistake. I really didn't think much of it until I got an email a couple days later and I had truly hurt this person very badly. And the email was so intense and I just, you know, I understand, like, it's never my intent. You know me well enough. It's never my intention to hurt somebody. And I really think of myself mm-hmm. as like an ally and all these things. But obviously, we all have to do work and we all have to look at ourselves and be like, how much better can I be? Or how can I be better, you know, and more sensitive and this and that. But that destroyed me. Like, I'm not feeling so much shame about it. And I did apologize. But the response from them was not kind. They were like, basically, I don't need your effing apology. You know, and I'm like, I felt guilt. I went through every emotion. I felt like mad at that person for not accepting my apology and not understanding my intention, mad at myself for not being cognizant enough to make that, just to make the mistake in the first place. Anyways, I'm not making your, what could you do without about me? But that was, I mean, it was a point in my life that really it's a scar in my heart because I feel like I hurt that person publicly and it makes me very sad. But I called Mike like sobbing because I couldn't talk to anybody. And it was right after it was like a week after George Floyd, his murder. And it was just like very, very charged. The whole theater piece was charged. There was many different pieces about, you know, social activist type stuff. It was just, and I'm like, I don't think I'm in the right space right now. I'm like a comedian mom being like, well, my kids are idiots, blah, 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 blah. You know, let me introduce the next guest. Okay, so that's, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, no, but I think it's a good conversation. I like, you know, I think that we have to, because I've certainly had my feelings hurt in the past. And sometimes I don't like the word like feeling hurts because it sounds like I'm like belittling it. I don't mean like, man, you're feeling hurt. But you know what I mean? Like people have done or said things to me that like have deeply hurt me or like deeply wounded me. And you do, I think, to a certain extent, have to have that thing of like, well, that's about them. But at the same time, yeah, of course, you also have to examine yourself as the person who might have hurt someone and say, okay. Because also, I recently sent a text to someone that like involved me telling them that they could go F themselves.
Right.
But I knew I meant it funny. And I'm yeah. pretty sure they took it as funny because the conversation went on from there.
Right.
So I'm aware that I have that kind of thing where I can sometimes be like, haha, this is funny. And I have to understand that it's not always going to be interpreted that way. And I can't like abdicate all responsibility for the things that I say. So I think that I think it's a conversation worth having. So yeah. I actually really appreciate you contributing to that as well.
Thank you.
So for our topic, let's see. And I don't know how much I should probably tell you these topics ahead of time because sometimes they are things that you might need to look into a little bit. But awards. Ooh. We had two major award things happen in this last week. Did you watch any of the Grammys?
I did not. I have it. I recorded it. But I did not watch it. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it was really cool. I really, really enjoyed how it was set up. And I really, 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 really hope that it's maybe setting a precedence for, you know, the next topic, which will be the Oscars, because they actually had the nominees there. Like, they were there. They were outside.
Great.
It was a big outdoor space. They were, like, sitting at their tables with their masks on. And when their name was announced, they, like, went up and took their mask off and got to give. Like, they got, so there were standing ovations and there was applause and there was, peers thanking their peers. Like, it's what you want an awards ceremony to be.
Yes.
And it was so much fun to see that. Like, kudos. I actually don't know who produced the program, but it was so well produced. And so they would have this outdoor space and then the camera would go to this huge indoor space. I don't think it was the Staples Center because that was like in the background, but there was this other space where it was almost like three or four stages were set up, whatever the opposite of in the round is. So they were like surrounding, the camera was surrounded by these little stages.
Oh.
So like Billie Eilish and her brother would sit on this stage and watch while Harry Styles would perform. And it was fun because you'd like be watching a performer, like watching someone else, and then Billy would perform and then the other people would be watching her. So they would do like three or four performances in a row.
Cool.
It was just so well put together. And I was really, really happy. We've talked about the things that I've loved as far as like, I love Dua Lipa's album and she won for Best Pop Vocal Album. And
ooh.
I kind of wanted her to win Album of the Year, but we all kind of knew that Taylor Swift was going to win that. And I'm not mad about it. Like, it was technically, it probably was the Album of the Year. Like, you kind of can't argue that it was the album that everyone talked about. And I know, and I get the complaints that like Beyonce almost never wins in a major category, but she did become the winningest performer in the history of the Grammys by winning her 28th and 29th Grammys in one night, which is such a staggering number.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was just like, it was such a fun ceremony.
I love her.
Well, she's amazing. Like she's a brilliant, brilliant artist. And I totally get that like she, you know, she deserves an Album of the Year and, you know, fingers crossed, she's still putting out amazing work. So it was just fun. It was just like a fun ceremony to watch and like really cool performances. And once again, it can be done. You can put people in a room together and like you can do it. So I really hope that the Oscars are like paying attention and figuring things out as far as that goes.
I bet they are.
Yeah.
I bet they are. Because all they want to do is entertain people. And that's, we need that right now.
Right.
Cool. I love that.
So that was super, super fun. And then, you know, the Oscars, you know, we have the nominees came out and I was, you know, there were some surprises, but overall, like I was really happy with.
Well, you chose like almost every single thing you chose except for what, like three?
I did a pretty good predicting job. I feel like we've been pretty on board with what was going to be happening. I do have a question for you and I want you to answer honestly.
Okay.
Because you still haven't watched Mank.
Right. I watched the first bit of it and I fell asleep, but I was having a very tired parent moment where I didn't sleep for days. But yes, I still haven't watched the full thing.
So I'm just curious because it got the most nominations of any film. It got 10 and a bunch of things then tied for second place with 6. But I know that there's a lot of like, I don't want to necessarily say hate, but there is a certain amount of like dislike for this film that I truly like, I just rewatched and I would have a really hard time choosing between it and Nomadland as my favorite thing of the year.
Yeah.
And they're so wildly different films. Like, like Mank is so mannered and so like, particular. I can see some people finding it to be a little airless. I did not find it that way. I love it. There's been like weird like Amanda Seyfried and like I think she's so fantastic. I really thought that at one point it was sort of her race to lose and now there's kind of this weird chatter of not being, I don't know. Anyways, I'm just curious for people that don't like it or haven't watched it if there's a certain thing that feels off-putting. But anyways.
How about this? I watch it this week and I'll let you know next week because I can't answer that today because I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely have a hard time getting into the black and white because that's just, I'm not used to seeing that.
Uh-huh.
I do like black and white films, but it's definitely something that my brain stops hearing. It's like when the color is gone, I stop hearing it, which if anything, I should listen more.
Right.
Maybe I need glasses, Mike.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so just there's my little bit. And it was a fun, you know, with 9 actors of color earned Academy Award nominations in one year, which is
amazing.
Definitely record setting. 2 women, and there maybe should have been 3, but 2 women got nominated for director in the same year. And I just don't see how there's any way that Nomadland doesn't take that. And Chloe's out, like she's so amazing. But I was really, really happy for Emerald Fennell. Like, I think that's so awesome that she also got a nomination for Promising Young Woman, because I think that film is so incredibly well made.
I really loved it too. When is the Oscars?
They are April 25th. Did I just make that up?
Because I think we need to do some like some bonus episodes leading up to that, because you and I are very excited, and I think or whatever, maybe we do an immediate episode after to talk about it. I just love it. I love the Oscars.
That'd be fun. I mean, they're a Sunday night. Maybe we'll do something a couple days earlier than we usually do. You know what I can look at? I can look at our shared notes.
Yes. Which I love.
Oh, good job, me. April 25th. Yes, that is when the Oscars are. April 25th. So sweet. Very excited for that. So anyways, there you go. There's some award stuff happening there. Cool. Do you have a random fact for us?
I do have a random fact this week. Fun. Because I am going to paint my room soon. But so I'm doing all this research and watching all these house shows and things like that. Here is a fun fact. Did you know if you put, I want to say it's like a tablespoon, but depending on how much paint, 2 tablespoons to a whole bottle of vanilla extract into your paint, it neutralizes the smell of the paint, but also, when it becomes spring or when it starts to warm up, you know, from winter to spring, it brings this like lovely smell in the air. Not very fragrant, but like it's, isn't that cool? I don't know why. I thought, oh, that's really neat. I'm going to put some vanilla extract in my paint when I paint.
I mean, to a certain extent, now I don't know why they don't just automatically add that when they're mixing the paint.
That's a good point. I don't know.
Right? Someone should just be making like vanilla paint. I love that. That's a really interesting fact. Yeah. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
My random fact is I want to talk about, I don't know if you pronounce them Grebes or Gribes. It's spelled Grebes for the plural. And it's a bird. It's an aquatic diving bird, and I'm mostly saying it because it is the answer in so many damn crosswords, and every time I get to it, I'm like, I don't remember what the damn bird is called. I don't remember. Grebes.
Grebes.
Grebes. Grebes. So now I'm going to bring it up every once in a while just so that I remember when I'm doing that damn crossword and I get to that clue and it makes me insane.
That is hilarious, Mike. Oh my God.
So there you go.
Great.
There you go. That's my fun fact.
I love it.
Vanya, I love talking to you. Is it weird to say that I'm like jealous of your parents? I'm so jealous that your parents are
honestly,
there right now.
Mike Jensen, I love you so much. And I was thinking about it. I was like, the next time I come to this goddamn airport, besides to drop my parents off, will be to pick up Mike Jensen. I am snapping because I mean it.
Yeah, it's going
to
happen.
Mike Jensen, come to Burbank.
I think it's going to happen sooner than we thought, too. Yeah, I'm very, very excited. Very excited. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go so you can spend more time with your parents. But it was fun as always. I love talking with you. And I hope that everyone enjoyed the program. And I'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.